Half a day, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
I'm unsettled. I'm insecure. I really don't know. I thought I got saved, but I don't know that I am saved. Why would that happen?
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor shares with us a brief overview of 2 Peter today in a message he calls The Bible at 30,000 Feet, a bird's eye view of 2 Peter.
We started a whole series on making a difference, and it was based out of the study of the Catholic epistles. The word Catholic is the word universal, and that's what these last eight books of the New Testament was. When they originally were put into the original languages of Greek, these last eight books, including Hebrews, the ninth book, were all on the front end of the original manuscripts in Greek. Then you had the Gospels, then you had the epistles called Pauline epistles. And then as the canon came together, the Bible you have in your hand, they were put at the end. And so we've been studying through this. We spent the whole fall on James, the whole second semester on 1 Peter, and I'm bound and determined we're going to get the rest of the general epistles that they were now known as. So we're climbing up to 30,000 feet, and we'll take snapshots of 2 Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, and then Revelation, we'll still get the big over picture. So, saying all of that, moving from street level to the higher level, and I'm committed to this because the genuine strength and growth of your life is going to come from Scriptures. And the best thing we can do as our church is to dive into Scripture and encourage you and whet your appetite that it is understandable. It really is. Peter, who wrote two epistles, and out of those general epistles, Peter was one author. James was another author. John was the author in Revelation, and then the author of Jude. He was the half-brother of Jesus with James, and then the author of Hebrews, and much discussion about who that might be. But here you find James, and the events of that calendar that took place was 65 AD, and I would encourage you to keep some dates in your mind because they're important, as important they are today. There was a year called 65 AD, and that's when Peter wrote the first book, and then the second book, about 67, was 2 Peter. All right? The destination we're talking about is 1 Peter, and I don't want to go too fast in this, but suffice it to say that in persecution in 1 Peter, it was causing you to grow or grumble in the Christian life, and it all depended on your response. You could summarize all of 1 Peter very simply as the Christians were suffering. And Peter now, like a good pastor, is coming alongside of them and giving them all the encouragement and group hugs he could and verbal kudos to say, listen, you can keep going. And then a couple of years later, he wrote 2 Peter. And this book right here that we're going to again fly by is Peter's audience is the same in his second letter. But the fact is, his theme and his purpose are different. And what the difference is that persecution from unbelievers can be hard, but defection within the community of believers can even be more devastating. If you want to summarize 1 Peter, Christians were suffering. And the second letter that Peter wrote, you can put Christians were to be strong, or Christians were to stand for their faith. And very simply, Peter now moves from a pastor, let me give you a group hug and encourage you and keep going, that now he comes along kind of like a prophet and says, now listen, you better be aware that there is not just external pressure, but there's internal pressure. There are things going on. People are coming into your congregation and the congregations up there that were in persecution, and they were coming in, they were nice people, and they were saying nice things, and they were just slowly like a snake coming in and saying, you know, really, some of these things, you sure you really want to believe that? And so when you look at 2 Peter, you end up finding now not the pressure was persecution coming in, stand up or you're going to be killed. And over the next couple of years, people coming in, they looked nice. Some of them were Jews, some were Gentiles. They found themselves coming in now and suggesting things. Didn't sound quite right. And Peter comes in and writes this note and sends it out to these believers, said, listen, you better be aware. And he mentions a number of areas. Chapter 1, he talks about Christian character. Look at your Bibles in 2 Peter 1. He talks about the great divine promises, verse 3 and 4. He says, there are great divine promises that I've given to you. And on the basis of those divine promises, he says, you do all diligence. I believe it's about verse 5. He says, you take diligence. In other words, you be wholehearted about everything you are doing and you add to your faith. That's what you can do. Jesus isn't going to come alongside of you and physically wake you up, put your pants on, and stand there now while he's going to open the Bible for you. It doesn't work that way. You have to do your part in adding to your faith, and that's going to shape the character in your life, and that's what he goes through. And if you don't, look at what happens in verse 8 of 2 Peter 1. This is what he says is going to happen. If you give diligence, verse 5, and add to your faith these qualities, then result is, verse 8, these things are in you and abound. They're going to make you that you'll neither be barren, or in other words, ineffective, nor unfruitful. But if you don't add to your faith these things, verse 9, then you're going to be blind. You cannot see afar off, and you've forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Is it possible for a Christian to be unsure of his salvation? Have you ever known somebody as a Christian that says, I don't really know that I'm saved. I'm unsettled. I'm insecure. I really don't know. I thought I got saved, but I don't know that I am saved. Why would that happen? Well, how could a person forget that? Evidently, if these believers didn't add to their faith, then the result was they were insecure and questioning their own salvation. So Peter goes right after it, and he says, chapter 1, very simply, you cultivate your Christian character. And to add on top of that, he said in verse 12 through 15, three times, he says, you remember, verse 12, remember these things. Verse 13, I'm going to put you in remembrance. Verse 15, I want to put you in remembrance. And then Peter said, verse 16, I was an eyewitness of all of this that the Lord himself had done. He received from God the Father honor and glory. And he said, in verse 18, from this voice came from heaven and we heard it. Peter said, listen, I heard it. I was on the Mount of Transfiguration. I heard it. And then he says to these believers, verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And you're doing well that you take heed. He says, listen, I heard it. You weren't there, but you have a more sure word of prophecy. And what is it? This is what it is. So there's no reason why even today this is as important and even more sure than even a word and the sights and sounds that Peter experienced. That should give you great comfort. And so with that in chapter 1, he leads to chapter 2 and deals with false prophets. He says in chapter 1, you cultivate Christian character. In chapter 2, he deals with the destruction of false teachers. Notice he starts with the displaying these five contrasts. One, the pain with a purpose. This is what he says in 1 Peter. Here's pain with a purpose. There is a reason why you're experiencing that pain. In this book, he says, here's poison in the pew. And so what I just went through in chapter 1 is what he's saying is, once you have that Christian character, now you'll be aware of the poison that could be in the pew. He also contrasts submission to knowledge, of comfort in 1 Peter, to caution in 2 Peter. And then he moves from holiness to maturity. And I just went through that area of maturity. He was saying, listen, you be mature, you be strong. And ultimately, out of 1 Peter 4, 7 to 2 Peter 3, 14, he moves from hope in the Lord's return. And that was such an encouragement. He then ends up talking about confidence in the Lord's return. Don't lose sight of that. Now, if you have all of that, let me give you the closing to this by looking very quickly at 2 Peter chapter 2 and 3. And again, this is at 30,000 feet, so we could take a whole semester and study through this. But we want to get through the general epistles. So look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, that he now moves from cultivating Christian character to condemning false teachers. He says these are false prophets that are going to come among you, and they're privately bringing in damnable heresies. They're denying the Lord that even bought them and bringing themselves swift destruction. He's saying, verse 2, many are going to follow their pernicious ways or deceived ways, and he starts nailing down the judgment that is going to come. He says, verse 4, angels were judged. He says, number 2, the old world was judged with Noah, who's the only eighth person and preacher of righteousness. And then he even says in verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and deserve the unjust unto the day of judgment. He says he's going to reserve all of it. And then notice, if you would, he begins walking through all of those things that those false teachers are going to be giving out. And then he comes to chapter 3 and he says, this is, verse 1, the second epistle. I'm writing to you, and he noticed, to stir up your pure way of remembrance. I'm stirring up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Those who scoff at the thought of future judgments, he says, will find, like Sodom and Gomorrah, that ignoring God's word will ultimately lead to destruction every time. The warning for believers was clear. And very simply, he says, number one, be not forgetful, or do not forget. He says, don't forget. And what are they not to forget? And then he says, be diligent. And then he says, beware. Look at chapter 3, and we'll close with this. But I think it's worth stating, if you summarize 2 Peter, these are the three very simple key challenges that I would want to leave with us as well as the emphasis of 2 Peter. And this is how he says in verse 1. He says, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You know what he's saying? Remember. Remember, remember, and redundancy is incredibly important. It's always the sign of a good teacher. Remember. And then he ends up making the statement, but he was reminding them, and it's a powerful statement, when he says again in verse 3, knowing this, listen to this, that they are going to come in the last days. Are we in the last days? We're living in the last days. There's nothing else that needs to happen to arrange itself before the rapture could take place and ultimately lead into this period on earth called tribulation. And so he's saying, listen, I reminded you that there are going to be people, listen, that know, verse 3, they're scoffers, they're walking after their own lusts, and here's what they're saying. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of this creation. They're saying uniformitarianism. Listen, the things that always took place are going to continue to take place, and there's no kind of catastrophe that's going to happen. Now, do you have people today that you ever hear people go, what? Listen, you don't need to worry about all that. There's nothing going to happen. Things are going to happen just like they've always happened. And Peter says, in his day, this is exactly what was going on. And Peter says, notice verse 4, and this is what they were saying when the promise of his coming, he's not coming back. And verse 5, this they willingly were ignorant of. They were choosing to be dumb. And so Peter, look, these are some powerful statements. Notice what he says, whereby, the verse 6, the world then was being overflowed with water, it was perishing, and the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. You know what he's saying? Listen, there was a catastrophe. It's called the flood. And the first time God destroyed the earth, it was by water. And he said, I'm never going to do that again. I'll put a rainbow in the sky, but there's going to come a day that's not going to be by flood. It's going to be by fire.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.